we might not, well, we actually did, but we might not have like a confetti cannon at Christmas. We definitely did that one time. But that did happen. Hey, we need to talk.
We've been talking a lot about collaboration and how do you maintain to be collaborative around church staff, around, you know, churches are multifaceted organizations that have a lot of different departments. Not everybody is the gatekeeper or understands what it means to have a creative vision around, you know, a church's philosophy of ministry or a philosophy of communication. So how do you maintain that without hurting everybody's feelings?
Something that, before you even dive into how do you work together, I feel like what always has been helpful is building a strong relationship with the people in your staff and friendships. Because through that, like, a lot of trust is built and a lot of like relational equity is there that you can like, you can cash in on relational equity during like tense moments of working together where you're like, I don't like this idea. And if you're not close to the person, you're like, they're going to take it wrong and they're gonna be offended. But it's like, dude, we just played disc golf together last weekend. And I was at his, you know, his daughter's, you know, birthday party, and like we're close and we're friends. Like, I know that he knows me, and I know that I can speak into and navigate a difficult work conversation, knowing there's relational equity there, that it's more likely to end in a successful outcome. And so I think, like, before you even talk about how to work together, I would encourage people, like, work on the relationships and make sure that, you know, you're friendly and there's friendships and there's time outside of work that you're spending time together, learning one another, and yeah, that's how I start.
I know I was like, I think it all has to do with too, like, your leadership and who you work with. Like, I was so blessed that I had a pastor that trusted my vision. Like, if he had an idea and I kind of like wasn't too sure about it, like, he trusted like what I said and like it had value. And that either sometimes communication instructors like don't feel like they have that voice too to like speak up. That's, I mean, I think that can be hard too. But I think it takes some time to just really like gain that confidence. And again, it's the relationship. Like, the longer you've been like working with people, the longer you've been with someone, the more trust that is there. They trust like you do know what you're talking about. But I mean, there's been times where I had, you know, I thought something should go one way and other people didn't. And I was like, all right, I'm just gonna swallow my pride and we're gonna, you know, go this other direction. And it was totally fine. But I think too, like, setting the ego aside sometimes is good.
I think it's important to know the personalities of the people that you work with. Like, yeah, there's so many tools that exist now, like whether it's like leaning into an Enneagram number or even Working Genius. Like, that is really important for us to be able to understand how we function as human beings, because I might be a WI wonder and inventor, but for somebody that is like a discerner or a tenacity, like, it's abrasive to them because I come with a ton of ideas and then now they're like frustrated because they have to implement or figure out how to do it. Or like, I'm frustrated by them because I'm like, I'm just like here to like be creative and have fun and you hate me now. Like, you're stifling my vibe. Yeah.
Right. And I know that sometimes you're just, as a creative person, you're just bringing ideas as like, hey, this is like a work session. We're just spitballing. And then you're frustrated when that, you know, the implementer is like, well, we can't do that because we only have $5. I'm like, well, if we could find $6, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How do you get past that, you know?
Yeah. Part of it, I think, is like defining your meeting.
Yes, I was going to say. We used to have, they were called blue sky meetings, and we knew that those meetings were to think of the blue sky, like above and beyond. We knew we were dreaming. But then from that dreaming meeting, you needed to have then a meeting where it's like, okay, like, this is actually what we're going to do. Like, we might not, well, we actually did, but we might not have like a confetti cannon at Christmas. We definitely did that one time. But that did happen. But things like that where it's just like, let's be really creative in this meeting, but also bringing people into that meeting that are creative. Because I know I'm a creative person, but those meetings were so hard for me because I knew I had to do the thing. And that made me feel really overwhelmed. So when people suggested all these things, all my brain was doing was like, now there's one more thing that's going to have to be on my plate, and that was very stressful. So, like, maybe I needed to be more in a meeting where it's like, okay, these things have been talked about. What can we actually do from it?
Do you feel like parameters need to be defined of like, this is the budget we have, these are the times that we, you know, the amount of work time that we want to be dedicated to this, and then let's not go outside of that before you go into a blue sky?
Yes and no, because if you don't have any of those parameters, some of those big blue sky things, then once you know the thing, you can kind of scale them down a little bit. But if you're stuck in those parameters, sometimes you can't creatively get to that point. But knowing that, like, that second part's coming. Like, but let's just take even, like, the first 15 minutes of the meeting. Let's, big blue sky. Okay, now let's actually look at this and see what we can actually...
But I think clear, also clear communication is really good. When you mentioned, oh no, one more thing on my plate, like whoever's leading that team or leading that committee or that meeting, they should give you the space and give you the ability to be like, "That's I don't want to do all that." And now you feel like, oh, they're going to look down on my job. But like the leader should say, like, I empower all of you to give clear, honest feedback and communication along the process. And so when Tika says, that's one more thing for me to do. Instead of people being like, oh, she doesn't want to work, they should be like, okay, we should listen to her.
Yeah.
And be like, you're right. Everything that we're saying is this fun, creative communication design idea. And she feels comfortable enough to let us know, like, that's not fair, that every idea we come up with is something that I have to do. And a strong leader, a leader who values collaboration, should empower the team to just be honest.
Yeah. There's no, we had a rock star Christmas, but like January 15th, by the time you get to MLK, you're just like, you're the whole staff's dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the point? You know what I mean?
How do you like create a space where people feel like they can share their ideas? Like, it can be collaborative. But maybe, I know I've been in spaces where like, people, you kind of create a space where like everyone's trying to tell you what to do and you need to like create boundaries. But like, how do you balance that but also still stay open so like you can be collaborative? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, working in comms, it's not unusual for, I mean, even I have other people in staff meetings who will end a meeting and be like, wow, Garrett and his team has a lot to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, yeah, we do. But also, the communications is the vehicle in which a lot of ministry happens, you know? I think, you know, there's a lot of different things, tools you can do. One of them that I highly encourage is like the feedback meeting. Like the collaborative team meeting isn't done until after the event and we meet again. And then maybe people are more open because they saw it. It's like, hey, you see how that, like, man, our team was like going to the very end, working hard, trying to crunch it to get ready. But a lot of other ministries didn't feel that pressure. Did you guys all notice how like, the comm team was swamped the week before Christmas or whatever? Like, that isn't a great vibe to go into the holidays where one ministry is swamped and the other ones aren't, or whatever. You know, like, I think the looking back meeting, the feedback meeting, the, you know, how did it go meeting, I think is important to have as a part of the collaboration process.
Yeah, and I even think, like, what you're talking about, too, is, like, this idea of, like, everybody wants to be heard. And like part of it isn't, it's not even like I want all of my wild ideas to come true. It's I want to feel like I have an equal spot at the table. Like, and we deal with that all the time. Like, we've all had those frustrations. Like, grandma's 5 a.m. knitting small group, like, she wants everybody to know about it. Mm. But the reality is like, only it's very niche audience. And so it's part of the collaboration is making her feel like her contribution, her ministry is actually important. And sometimes that does help. Like, collaborating is going like, well, I don't really want to give you a space, but going like, how can I give you a space?
Is that figuring out which channel that is most appropriate? You know, if, you know, that subsection of the congregation are more prone to open the email rather than to obviously engage in social media, is it better to just send it that way and say, hey, we're going to send out an email blast to these folks?
Yeah.
And do you think that helps grandma get meet across, or is that still like...
I think it is. Like, we all talk about a tiered system, like tiering out even an event or a ministry in form of communications, which is really important. But I think sometimes we have to go, because grandma's small group, she's always going to be the lowest tier. Like, every once in a while she'll show up. But sometimes like collaboration is getting creative of like, how can I give her more than what is just offered. Mm-hmm. It's being generous and creative in how I'm going to communicate.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like, it's important to do the job, but we're in ministry. Like, it's the people.
Right,
and
yeah.
So, like, how can we also just remember, like, people are why we do this, and like, how, even if it's not necessary, like, maybe we can't, like, give her everything she wants, how, what's our delivery like? And that just makes mm-hmm. such a huge difference. But I think just remembering, like, people are at the root of why we do what we do right. goes a long way.
And we have to wrestle with that all the time in communications. Yeah. We're like, hey, if you don't get the graphic in 3 weeks before Sunday, you don't get an announcement. But then, like, first of all, something can come up in 3 weeks and be like, we need to make an announcement or a graphic. Like, well, of course, that needs to go. But then, like, I've been in meetings on third. Our team does this, like, sermon review thing where the pastor gives a sermon to staff and we give feedback. And it's not unusual for one of the feedbacks to revolve around some kind of element we don't have yet. Mm-hmm. You know, not maybe not a video on Thursday afternoon, but, like, hey, can we get this, like, visual that, you know, the pastor didn't even suggest it. The team suggested it. And everyone agreed, and maybe I'm in that meeting, like, yeah, you know, that would be really good. And it's Thursday at 4 o'clock, and it's like, but that's collaboration. That's like, you know, he might ask, like, can your team do that in an hour? And go, well, you know, that's actually not, you know, what you're asking for is just this quick little graphic, or rearranging some of the slides. But I feel like that actually would improve. And if I said no, there's a 3 week policy, they would have been fine.
Right.
But I don't think Sunday would have been as good as if we collaborated and be like, no, let's get that in there, because that. Maybe the Holy Spirit is working in us or whatever, but, like, that will improve it. So let's throw out all the policies out of the window and make sure we collaborate together and make that happen.
Does it feel like a slippery slope, though?
Sometimes, yeah, for sure.
That. Like, if they start asking every week, then we need to have a conversation.
And there's been times where it's just, like, what they're asking, like, oh, that'd be really good if we could get a video. And it's, like, Thursday at 4:15, I'm like, that's not, there's no way. There's no way we can get a video, you know, so... Yeah, there's give and take, I think, too, you know, in that. And that's real collaboration, mm-hmm. where the other pastors or the teaching pastor, you know, is working with the communication department, and they're like, hey, sometimes we can make it work, sometimes we can't, sometimes we have creative ideas, you know, we collaborate together for the best possible outcome.
In ministry, like, how do we deal with, like, that, any, like, the conflict, you know?
Of, like, the standard setting?
Just like,
hey, we need to talk.
Hey, we need to talk. Yeah, like those conversations. Like, I think, like, maybe, like, collaborating together, or, like, egos bashing. Like, how do you maneuver those situations, like, well, and be able to still collaborate, like, well together without, like.
I think remembering, first of all, who we're here to serve, which is. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, and coming with a humble heart and saying, okay, ultimately, whatever we're doing doesn't supersede my duty and my calling as a Jesus follower. And even though this person's a coworker, that's a hard thing at a church, is like, coworker, volunteer, you know, whatever, let's say it's coworker, at a regular job, you're working at whatever, you're like, you know, I don't want to talk to Susie no more, whatever.
Yep.
But you got to see this person. You're engaging in community with this person.
Yeah, they're part of your church family.
Yeah, so you're like, all right, cool, let me just, how can I peacefully be at peace, live at peace with this person? And so, I don't know, have humility, what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it is challenging. I don't think that, from my perspective, I don't think the churches necessarily are all that much better at it. Maybe a little bit, you know? But, you know, like, when we go to the ComCon conferences, you know, we'll sit around and hear from people and they'll hear all different kinds of stories of difficulties working with certain staff members, you know? And maybe some of us have experienced that before. And I immediately, like, grieve. I'm like, man, I'm sad that, you know, Jesus Church looks like this sometimes, you know? But it does. I think humility is really good. I think, like, having... you know, good leaders and in positions of managing people and collaborating and managing teams, I think is important. The last thing we want is, like, conflict to go unresolved and just, like, that, I'm not going to talk to them. And we've all seen that, too, and that's a lot of churches that have high turnover for similar reasons. And so I think we can only control how we respond to conflict, and so I think we can just, you know, try our best to be humble and... But also you know, straightforward, kind of have those honest conversations, you know, in loving ways. Hey, we need to talk.